Our scripture passage for this morning is from 1 Kings chapter 19. Listen for God's word. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets of Baal with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then Elijah was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones in a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. At the place he came to a cave and spent the night there. God said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram, and you shall anoint Jehu as king over Israel, and you shall anoint Elisha as prophet in your place. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." People of God, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say, Amen. Have you ever accomplished a project that when it was all finished, didn't result in any of the changes that you were expecting to see? Several years ago, my wife Jamie had that kind of experience at work. Jamie works for a program in the Princeton Hospital System, and a few years ago, she was asked to take the program's intake paperwork and convert it from a paper system to a digital system. My doctor's office made this change a few years ago as well. When I go in, I used to be handed a clipboard with a few papers on it that I would fill out with a pen. But now, the last few years when I go in, the person at the front desk hands me a tablet computer and I fill out the intake paperwork in a digital form. Jamie was tasked with creating the digital version of her program's intake form. And it was no small job. That particular program has a 12-page intake form. It's more of an intake packet. And the patients for the program have to fill it out before starting their treatment. For weeks, Jamie meticulously reproduced that 12-page document line by line, bubble by bubble, question and answer by question and answer, from a paper form to a fully digital and interactive format. When she was finished, she had a completely digital document which doctors could send to the email to their patients or have their patients fill out on a tablet computer right there in the office. Jamie sent the completed document to the higher-ups. She presented her finished work. And do you want to guess what the result of her work was? Do you know what changes all of her work brought about? Nothing at all. Instead of bringing about any change, for some reason, a reason that was not explained to Jamie, a reason that remained beyond her knowledge or control, the new system with the digital intake form was never implemented, And Jamie was left feeling like all of her work had been completely and utterly wasted. Jamie's experience at work, I think it begins to help us understand the frustration, the despondence, the despair experienced by Elijah in our story for this morning. Elijah was called by God to do some amazing work. Elijah assumed that his completed and successful work would make a certain kind of change, a certain kind of difference in God's world. When Elijah was finished, when he presented his work to the higher-ups, as far as he could tell, nothing had changed. And he felt like his work, his life, his role in God's service were completely worthless, and he was ready to throw in the towel. In the story, the king and the queen of Israel have turned down a terrible path. Rather than worshiping and serving God and God alone, they have been worshiping and seeking to serve other gods, including the Canaanite god Baal. Elijah is called by God to show how utterly foolish it is to worship and to serve Baal, a god who doesn't even exist. Elijah does this by confronting the prophets of Baal. He offers them a contest to prove whose God is truly worthy of devotion and worship. Each will build an altar to their God and call upon their God to consume the sacrifice put on the altar by sending fire from heaven to ignite and to burn up the sacrifice. The prophets of Baal do all that they can to try and elicit a response from their God Baal, but there is, of course, nothing that happens. Elijah wins the contest. He calls upon God to send fire. God sends fire and consumes Elijah's sacrifice, and Elijah accomplishes his work. He defeats the prophets of Baal and seemingly proves that his God, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is the only God worthy of everyone's worship and devotion. When Elijah goes to present his work to the king and the queen, King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, I think he is expecting that they will be moved by his successful work, moved by his faithful accomplishment, moved by the work that he has done at God's command and with God's help. Elijah believes that Ahab and Jezebel will be moved by his victory and that they will see the error of their ways and that they will be ready to repent and make some changes in their lives and changes in the life of the kingdom over which they rule. But that is not at all the result that Elijah receives. When Ahab and Jezebel learn what Elijah has done, the work that he has accomplished, when Elijah turns in his completed work, the king and the queen are unmoved. In fact, they are more entrenched in their evil ways than ever before. Jezebel, learning of what Elijah has done to her prophets of Baal, rather than repenting and having a change in heart, she vows to kill Elijah in revenge. Elijah learns of this vow. He learns that his work has not made the difference that he was hoping for and expecting, and he heads into the wilderness, feeling like a worthless person, ready to die, rather than to continue to do the work that seems to be making no difference at all. People of God, friends of Jesus Christ, I think that we can relate to this feeling and this experience which Elijah is going through in our story. As Christians, as the church, we can relate to this experience. We are those who hope to see our work as God's servants in this world, making a difference and bringing about the repentance and the transformation of the people and the systems in the world around us. We can relate. Like Elijah, God calls us to faithfully do the particular work that God gives us to accomplish. And we do that work. We do the work of being the church. We care for our church property. We manage and lead our church's ministries. We make worship happen. We make Sunday school happen. We do tireless and creative work to put on and to offer outreach and service events. We offer and accomplish education and fellowship and mission accomplishments. In our personal lives, we are faithful. We give of our resources, our time, our talent, our treasure. We read our devotions. We say our prayers. And we do our best to follow Jesus' commands and to allow his example to inform and inspire how we live our lives, how we treat our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, and our families. year after year, decade after decade, we are faithful to the work that God has called us to do. And there are times when we have a very clear idea of what the outcome of all of that work should be. We want to see the people in our lives, the people in the world around us, the people of our extended community. We want to see them come to know and understand the good news of the gospel, that God loves them, and that God calls them and offers them transformed and blessed lives. We want to see our world become a place where peace and goodness and love are at home. Like Elijah, we have a clear idea of what it means to make a difference. We have a clear idea of the changes we are hoping and expecting that our work will bring about. And quite often, I think it is the case that when we are finished with our work, when our ministry comes to its conclusion, when we turn in our accomplished projects, when we stop and take stock of what we have done and what effect our work has made, we can become disappointed and disillusioned and feel despair that the results of our work are not at all what we had hoped for or expected. We labor hard for the Lord. We remain faithful. We do and accomplish all that God has asked us to do and to accomplish, but rather than reaping a great harvest, it seems like the fields we have been tending remain empty and barren of any of the crops we had hoped would grow. The results can be what we see Elijah experiencing. We can feel full of despair. We can feel like there is no point in going on. We can feel like our efforts have been wasted and that rather than going forward into more fruitless work, we would rather just lay at the foot of a broom tree and be allowed to die in the wilderness. In Elijah's case, God is not ready to allow Elijah's service to come to an end. Elijah is full of despair in the wilderness, but God has more plans. More work that God needs Elijah to accomplish, and God has a message of hope for Elijah to hear and to learn. For 40 days, God leads Elijah through his wilderness experience. God appears to Elijah on Mount Horeb, not in the greatness of a terrible wind or a great earthquake or a raging fire, but God appears to Elijah in the whisper of a sheer silence. When God meets with Elijah, God does not share in Elijah's sense of despair. God does not seem disappointed with Elijah or with the results of his work. God isn't disheartened that Elijah's work didn't bear the results that Elijah was expecting. Instead, God continues to treat Elijah as Elijah is. God continues to treat him as God's beloved and faithful servant. God calls Elijah to continue his work by helping to anoint and commission the next generation of God's faithful servants. Elijah is given instructions to anoint the next kings over God's people and to anoint Elisha as the prophet who will take over Elijah's work. Elijah is commissioned to anoint and commission the next generation, whom God will continue to use to further accomplish the long and the slow work of God's plans for the redemption of all things. It is true, Elijah has not accomplished all of God's work. It is true, Elijah on his own in the span of his lifetime, he will not see God's plans for the redemption of all things come to their full completion. Instead, when Elijah's time is done, wickedness will continue to persist. Evil kings and wicked queens will remain stuck in the quagmire of their pride and idolatry, and yet Elijah has not been a failure. He has been faithful to the work to which God has called him. He has been a good and a faithful servant. As our 40 days of Lent come to their conclusion, God reminds us of the nature and experience of our work as God's servants in this God's world. There will be times when we are faithful, when we do all that God has called us and prepared us to accomplish. And despite that good and faithful work which we have done, we will not see the results that we were hoping for or expecting. We might have hoped to be there, to take in the great harvest, but we will have to realize that God is using us to prepare the soil, or to sow the seeds, or to weed among the rows. We might have expected to be there to take in the great harvest, but we will need to realize, with the help of God's love and grace, that we have been called by God and given by God only our portion of God's work, only our part in God's plans. We may have expected to be there to take in the great harvest, but we will need to hear from God that the furthering of God's work will not rest solely in our hands, but in the hands of others, and in the hands of future generations. Rather than feeling like failures, God calls us to see and to remember that God's work continues, and that in God's eyes we are not failures. Rather, we are what we are, God's good and faithful servants. May God so give us that message of hope. Amen.